We are going to wrap up today our message series on the book of Ecclesiastes, the good life. All good things must come to an end, as is the book of Ecclesiastes as well today. So we'll wrap up our study there by looking at the last few verses. Don't worry if you didn't. If you say, well, it's my first Sunday here. I didn't know I was getting in on the end. It's okay. I'm going to summarize it all today. You can just get it all in one fell swoop. See, you'll be okay. That doesn't mean that you can skip. Never mind. I'll go back to that. That's okay. So we're glad you're here. I want to give you a good summary of the book of Ecclesiastes and our study together. We've been talking a lot on this journey about what life, the ups and downs of life, the real life. What does real life look like? If we're looking for a good life, we have to be honest, and that is the fact that life is not always great, is it? There are days when we get to the end of the day and we simply say, man, today was a hard day. Today was a rough day. Sometimes it's more than a day. Sometimes it's a week or a month. And then there are other days we think, man, today was a pretty good day. And all of us, if we're honest, live in that ebb and flow, don't we? We live in the ebb and flow of life. There is good and there is bad. And I got to tell you, that's just always going to be, isn't it? So we had to define what a good life was. Before we get to the end of the book today, we had to kind of go on a journey. We had to go on an exploration, if you will, of what it was. And I told you the first Sunday of this series, 13 weeks ago, that the end of the book is going to say this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's the answer today. That's where we're at. We're finally there. But we didn't get there in 1 week, did we? We had to go on a journey. I want to take just a moment this morning and recap, if you will, a few of the things that we learned from the study of Ecclesiastes. And the first one was this: it's okay to ask questions. It's okay for us to ask questions. We just have to be careful that our questions draw us to God and not away from Him. It's okay for us to ask questions. If you're honest, we have questions about life and about why things are the way that they are. But we determined really early on that it was madness and folly. Those words appeared over and over again in the text. It's madness and folly for us to seek for gain from this life. In other words, nothing we get in this life is going to fully satisfy us. We talked about that. People have sought for satisfaction in everything, haven't they? And we never are satisfied, are we? Because we're looking for gain in this world, and it doesn't exist. We find momentary satisfactions in this world, but our hope is in eternity, which led us to understanding of God's control of time and how God's control of time is a comfort to us. We want to be in control of time, and we think if we just got control, we'd feel better. But we understood, after we looked at God's word, that His control of time actually should comfort us more, because we understand that we see only a glimpse, and God sees eternity, doesn't He? And so we must trust in His timing. And then when we do this, we find that we can do this better together. We talked about community. Why do I believe in gathering together on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and in Bible studies throughout the week? Because I believe we are stronger together in community. We do better together. And when we come together and worship, one of the things we talked about was the importance of worship as an act of listening. What do we do in worship too much? When we come to God, we talk. We tell God what we want. God, blah, blah, I need this. And sometimes we just need to realize, and the preacher taught us this in the book of Ecclesiastes, we just need to be silent. The abundance of words does not equal wisdom many times. It's silence that equals wisdom. It's more important that we hear from God than He hears from us. We talked about living life with the whole journey in mind, understanding that what we see now in front of us is just a piece, just a glimpse of what all of life really is. Why do we struggle with this so much? Why do we struggle against it? We talked about it's because of the fact that sin is real, and sin is destructive, and sin is a liar. And because of all of that, and because of the truth of sin, we struggle against wisdom, don't we? We seek after foolishness so many times, don't we? I'm sure I'm not the only one that has sought after foolishness, right? Something I thought was going to be good and turned into madness and folly. True faith is not about controlling or manipulating God. True faith is trusting in God for who He is. Last week and the last few weeks, we talked about how to live a balanced life, a joyful life, a serious life, a life that looks at now but also looks at eternity and how that balances out. And we talked about how we can know the way to a full life, and it was through the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus Christ. And then last week we talked about while you're young. I told you you could define whatever young was. I'll let you define that. The scripture teaches us that while we're young and while we're full of energy, we are to live for God with all that we have. So many people wait and say, I'll do that when I'm older. And scripture teaches against that. And he speaks to those who are older and he says, now you who are older, go and instruct those who are younger and teach them in the ways of God. What a powerful message it would be if those who are younger caught fire for God. As we talked about last week, I believe it can change the world. Today we got to get to the point where we get to the end and we draw some conclusions. And it simply is this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Let's see how we can get there together. I want you to turn in God's word to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We just have a few verses today, verses 9 through 14. This will finish the book of Ecclesiastes. We'll begin the book of Galatians next week, Breaking Free. Good series about how we can break free from the bondage of sin through Jesus Christ. We'll study that starting next week. So, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 9, let's read this together. Here's what it says. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. May God bless the reading and the teaching of His word in these few minutes that we have together. I want to explain to you, at the end of the book that we just read is really written from another perspective. It's from the perspective of the narrator. You may have noticed that it almost sounds like an outside voice speaking about the one who has been teaching us, the preacher. We're reintroduced to the collector, if you will, of all of these stories. We don't know anything about him. We don't know the context. That's really not important. We just know he was writing to his son. Whether that's his literal son or metaphorical, his son as in a young man, we don't know. It's not that important, really, but you can read about all that if you want to. Read about all that. He's adding here his input to the end. I am the one who collected all of these stories. You have to realize there was not an easy way for him to collect all these things, were there? He did not have a copier, okay? He did not have his phone that he could record things on. I'm not making fun, but you understand it would have been work for him to collect all of this information, all of this wisdom, and collect it into one book. And he said, this is exactly what I've done. I want to tell you that I consider the preacher a wise man. I want you to know that he taught much knowledge. These words that I'm giving to you are important. I want you to listen to them. He's saying and emphasizing the fact that these are not just empty words or empty sayings. You notice there in verse 9, he's weighing and studying and arranging. Those are very active things that he's doing. If you are collecting information for a paper, if you will. Maybe you haven't written a paper in a long time. I had to write a few recently. So one of the hardest parts of gathering information is once you get all the information together, you have to actually make it make sense, don't you? Put together in a paper. You can't just copy and paste all of the information into something and you're going to get an F, okay, on that paper, all right? You have to make it make sense. You have to make it coherent. He said, I've gathered, I've collected, I've studied. Here it is. Here is the truth. of what I've learned from this man of God, from this wisdom that he has shared with us. He says these words are delightful, aren't they? They're beautiful, they're upright, and they're true, and all these beautiful. And we talked about some of that. Some of it was poetry. I don't know a lot about poetry, but I know a good poem when I hear one, right? I think it's supposed to rhyme. Some of it's not. I'm confused about that, but that's okay. So I like, you know, beautiful poetry, and when you hear it, you think, man, that really stirs me. He said, these words are delightful, both in form and in content. They're stirring. They're meant to encourage us. They're meant to stir us to emotions. They're beautiful words, and they're wise. We get to verse 11, and it says, the words of the wise are like goads. Everybody knows what a goad is, right? You woke up this morning thinking about goads, didn't you? It's not goats. I know what a goad is. But I had to look up a goad, I admit. I probably learned this sometime and could not remember what a goad was, but I did a little research on that. A goad was a long stick or branch that had some nails or sharp pieces on the end, and it's used to corral animals to get them back onto the path, okay? Now, you know, if you know anything about animals, you know that animals have a mind of their own, right? They do kind of their own thing. And if you need to correct an animal, you sometimes have to give them a little persuasion. Is that the right word for it, right? I told the other two services, my only experience with animals was mainly cattle. My dad and my granddad had cattle. And so I remember a story. I remember one time my granddad had a pasture on one side of the street and a pasture on the other side of the street, but we didn't have like a tunnel under the road or any way for them to get to the other side of the street except open both the gates, point the cows toward the pasture, and then we set up prevent defense on the road like this, you know, make sure the cows go into the other pasture without running into the street or running off. This was my cousin and my brother and I's job. Stand in the road, don't get run over, and don't let the cows get loose. We did this often. Poppy, my Poppy is what we called him, would say, we got to put the cows across the road. Here we go. So line up one Sunday. I remember it was a Sunday afternoon deal. We weren't supposed to work, I thought. But anyway, Sunday afternoon, we're out. Poppy says, cows go across. All the cows, except for like two of the slow cows, went across the road. And then a car came by and scared all the cows, and the other 100 cows went back across the road in a stampede-esque scenario. I remember that. You're like, what in the world? These animals, they have their own mind. So to help in the process, we had what was called a cattle prod. Big thing with a battery, white stick, and two metal prongs on the end. And you get a little, little persuasion device. If you're with PETA, I apologize. It's not harmful. It just is a little shock. It does not harm the animals in any way. Okay? They don't even feel it just for a moment. Okay? So, but why do we need these things? Why do we need these type of devices? Stubborn, mind of their own. I don't know if that sounds like me or if I'm just reading too much into it here. It reminds us of us sometimes, doesn't it? The words of the wise are like goads, it says, like the nails on a goad. Sometimes I need wisdom to smack me a little bit, don't you? Sometimes wisdom is not always flowery and poetic. Sometimes it's painful, and I need pain sometimes. You ever been told the truth and it hurt, but you knew you needed it? That's what this is talking about. The preacher has collected these words, and they're like goads sometimes. They sting a little bit. You're not going to die. You're going to be okay. You're going to hurt for a minute, but you're going to realize that you're now back on the path that you need to be on. It's a great truth here. The words of the wise are like goads and like nails. And notice where they came from. Did you see that in verse 11? They're given by one shepherd. You see the capital S there? Who's the one great shepherd, folks? This is a picture of the Savior. In the Old Testament, I told you Jesus was all throughout Scripture, isn't he? There's a picture of the Savior here, the one shepherd. And I am blessed to be an under-shepherd of the great shepherd. And we share truth and we share wisdom. But I pray that all of our wisdom comes from the one shepherd, capital S, shepherd. This is where these words of wisdom come from. And the narrator cautions his son here. And he cautions us in verse 12. Beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books, there's no end, and much study is a weariness. That doesn't mean don't ever study your books, by the way, if you're in school. That's not what it says, okay? Let me tell you what it means. It means this: we got to be careful that we aren't following the words of man, that we are following the words of God, the words of truth. I've read a lot of, I love to read, and I love Christian books. I read a good many Christian books every year. But let me tell you, and I know you may read them too, and I just want to caution you that every book that you read, even if it's by the most reputable Christian author that you can ever read, you better make sure it lines up with Scripture and not the thoughts of man. We have to be careful. And I'm not saying that you can't glean truth from them, but don't follow after the words of a man or a woman who wrote a book. Follow after the words of truth. Many people have been led astray by someone who had a revelation, okay? Let's be careful of that. Don't add to these words. The Bible speaks of that other places. Don't add or take away from these words. Words of truth and words of wisdom are found in God's Word. That's where we find them at. Be careful. Verse 13 is the heart of the matter. Here's what he says. I like how he says it. He says, this is the end of the matter right here. This is it. This is your application. Everything's been heard. Fear God. Fear God and keep His commandments. Now, I want to define the word fear for just a moment. I think we need to define that before we go any further. There's three definitions for fear in the Bible. Three ways that fear is used. Number one is probably the most common use of the word fear for us. It's terror, scared of something. Like that Fear Factor show, you had to put your hand down with the roaches or something. That's weird. You know what I'm talking about? Where they're like, put your hand in here, see what it is. No, I don't want to. I'm afraid of that, okay? That's the first kind of fear. The second kind of fear is actually more of a respect. And it's used usually in the Bible in terms of a servant and a master. A servant has a fear of his master. And it's not meant in a trembling. It's a respect. I respect my master. Third definition of fear is one that you may be familiar as well. It's reverence and awe, A-W-E, reverence and awe. And most people say, well, I can understand that. So what does it mean to fear God? And people say, well, it's reverence and awe. I'll tell you today, I believe it's all of those things when it comes to fearing God. I believe it's all of those things. You say, well, I don't know if I like it. Let me just say this. People say, well, I don't know if I should fear God, because when I hear fear God, many times I think, ooh, God, don't smite me, you know, something like that. Here's how I view fear of God. He created the universe with His Word. I didn't. I should have a healthy fear of God. And people say, well, I don't like, just think about it. The God who created all things, who gave breath, who created out of nothing. That's power. And I think it's okay for us to have a healthy fear of that. I think it's okay for us to have a respect for that. And I certainly think there is awe and reverence to be had for Him. That's how we fear God. But I don't want you to miss the second part of the commandment here in Ecclesiastes. It says to fear God and do what? It says keep His commandments, doesn't it? There's an element of obedience that is followed after fearing God. Here's what you do. You know who God is. You know who He really is. And because of that, you keep His commandments. Our key point today wraps up the entire book of Ecclesiastes, I believe, into a couple of sentences. The preacher's words are given so that we might live well before God. How do we live? How do we live a good life before God? First thing we do, we give Him reverence. We revere Him because of who He is, right? Creator God. We revere Him, but we must bear in mind that the universe is a moral place, and there is accountability, folks, for the way in which we spend our days. The preacher has spent pages and pages and verses talking about obedience, keeping His command. Number one, know who God is, love Him, you know, for who He is, Creator, God, King of Kings, Prince of, all of these things that you can think of. But because of who He is, church, He calls us to obedience. And we can't overlook the fact that the universe is a moral place, and those moral standards were put in place by God Himself. That's the part where we get in trouble a lot, isn't it? We like the part where we know who God is and know what God is, what He's done in the world, but we struggle sometimes with the keeping His commandments. But verse 13, verse 14 says this: God will bring every deed into judgment indeed, won't He? Every secret thing, whether good or evil. Let me wrap up application for this for you. This is God's word I hold in my hand. It is a bonded leather version that I bought at Lifeway, okay? But it is the words of truth. You have amazing access to God's word. You can download apps for free. I will give you a paper Bible if you don't have one. I have stacks of them that I will give you. In other languages even, if you need them. You have access to God's word more than probably any other generation has ever had. You understand what it took to get scripture, though? A ton of people collected information, and a ton of people, the narrator here, wrote the words of life, divinely inspired words of God, and they made their way, and now they stand before us. But let me tell you, it is not about just merely possessing the word of God. There are a ton of people who possess it, folks. And what I mean by that is they hold it in their hand. It's about holding it in our heart and living by it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, one of my favorite verses: all scripture is breathed out by God. It's useful, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. If you were in Awana, you learned this verse. Okay, I remember my Awana days. Ben, you with me? All right. You know this. All scripture, all of it, A-L-L, is useful. Even Ecclesiastes. Somebody told me after this first service that, man, I've read Ecclesiastes a ton of times. And, boy, you know, it was sure eye-opening to see what all was in it. I don't want that to be about me. I want that to be about our love of God's word and understanding that all of it is useful for teaching. So here's what I want to leave you with today. Don't just be a mere possessor. You have the words of wisdom before you. It's not just Ecclesiastes, it's all of it. The Bible is a grand narrative, isn't it? That speaks and points to Jesus both forward and backwards. It has some goads in there, folks. Some things that might hit us in places that hurt a little bit. But we need them. We need to be instructed and led back down the path that God has for us. Sometimes there are words of pleasure. Yeah, great. Wonderful. But you understand, the book of Ecclesiastes, the good life, was really about the fact that life indeed is going to be full of ups and downs and hills and valleys. There is one thing that stands true. That is the wisdom and the truth that is found in God's word. I want us to be a church that loves it. I want us to be a church that studies it. Why do I go verse by verse through a book of the Bible? Because all scripture is profitable, useful for teaching, for correction, for reproof. I need it. You need it. Our world needs it. I don't want to just be spitting out memes on Facebook. Okay? Although one day I want to be a meme. I'm working on that, okay? I don't want to just be spitting those out. I want to share the words of truth. I want you to love it. I want you to love God's word. I want you to understand that the beginning of all wisdom is to fear God, know who He is, and then follow after His commandments, church. I realize that's a high calling. You can't do that alone. You do that through the power of the Spirit. It was given through us, through Christ, His death, His resurrection, and the helper that He left for us. You do that in community with other believers. You do that by studying God's word together with other people. and being strengthened by those around you who have, many of them, been through the same thing that you've been through, and will pray with you and love you through it. You understand that we're better together. But we're always better when we use this as our textbook, when we use this as our guide. May God guide us. May God grant us the power and the resiliency to stand up against anything that stands against this and against that kind of wisdom. That's my prayer over the last 13 weeks, that you would have been inspired to love God's word more, that you'd be inspired to live for Him, and indeed to keep His commandments. Let's pray together. We'll be done here in just a moment. I want to invite you today just to consider for a moment what it means for you to revere God in your own life, what it means for you to stand in awe of Him, respect of Him. Maybe today you just need to stop and say, God, I love you for who you are. Thank you for being God in my life. If we're honest today, we probably need to say, God, I'm going to ask you also to help me to be one that keeps your commandments. I know I'm not alone. I know we all struggle with this. And maybe we just need to pray that today. Lord, help me to be a keeper of your commandments. And last, I'm going to ask you to pray, God, help me to love your word. Help me to love the words of wisdom, even when they're painful to me sometimes. Even when they hit me where it stings a little bit. Help me to love your word and to seek after truth. Our altar will be open. Our prayer partners are available. If you want somebody to pray with you or pray over you today, I invite you to do that. I'll be here to pray with you if you need that as well. You simply respond in obedience to what it is that God has for you. So, Father, we give you this time. We thank you for the truth of your word, for the truth of the testimony that we've read through the book of Ecclesiastes. God, we seek after you. We fear you. We revere you. We are in awe of you. And God, help us to keep your commandments, to love your words of truth and your words of wisdom. And forgive us when we seek after so much madness, so much foolishness, God. Give us a heart for you. Give us a love for you and for your truth, God. I pray in this room, if there's someone here who is looking for their way and they've tried everything, God, and they just need today to surrender to you. Say yes to Jesus. Make him the Lord of their life. Maybe today their spirit has been convicted. I pray you'd give them the boldness to step forward and proclaim that today. God, our simple prayer in this time is obedience. May we be obedient to you and to your Spirit. We pray that in Jesus' name.